Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The joy and peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's sing. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith in you and receive the fullness of God's blessing, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, who crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is in the God, guarding the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods,
never take their names upon my lips. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have a rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I accept the Lord always before me.
Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let the Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and from the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and joyous joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you ever wish that you had been in that upper room when Jesus first appeared to the disciples? That you were able to see with your own eyes, to touch the living flesh of Jesus, to hear his voice say your name in love and forgiveness, to have Jesus in our midst. In that way, wouldn't that be a church building experience? Or would it? Take a closer look at that group of disciples, the ones who had walked with Jesus for years, who heard his teachings firsthand, who felt the breath of Jesus blow the Spirit into their hearts and minds, to blow that spirit of forgiveness and mercy to the bottom of their hearts. Although Jesus had been telling the disciples that he was going to die, although he had been telling them, preparing them, that he was going to go away from them, they still were not ready. They weren't ready to be on their own. Jesus had taught them how to love one another. He had taught them how to serve each other. He had washed their feet and told them that they would be his hands in the world. He invited them to follow him, to carry the cross of discipleship in the world. But there they were, locked behind the closed doors, filled with fear and doubt, really hoping that no one would knock on the door, not even wanting their names to be associated with that name of Jesus, the one who had been killed because he claimed to be the king. He claimed to be the Messiah. Was he? Was he the Messiah? They didn't know what to think. They thought he was, but now he was dead. They wondered. They didn't even dare to speak their doubts to one another in that upper room where they were sitting in fear. Would their hopes be dashed again if they hoped, if they believed, if they put their trust in those, in the words of those women who had come back and told them that he was raised from the dead? What if we believe this story and it's not true? Too good to be true. It's too much to hope for. I think that today our church isn't much different from that church in the upper room on that first night of the resurrection. We share some common ground with those people who were gathered in that night. We live in a world and in our state, in our city, where Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ, are a minority. According to the most recent Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, there are twice as many atheists in the United States as there are mainline Protestants. Twice as many. We are a minority. We're a minority in our nation and in California, and for sure in this neighborhood, we are a minority. Nationwide, we as Lutherans have lost about 2% of our churches, of our church membership in the past year. And even though our synod has planted 4 new churches in these past 12 months, other churches are either closing or on the brink of closing. Could it be that we are more like that scared little community gathered in the upper room than we thought? Are we hiding from the outside world, finding refuge in here, closing the doors and sitting with just those few who believe, that we are somehow doubtful, somehow fearful, not sure that the presence of Christ is in our midst? There are many things in our world and in our lives that cause us to say yes to our fears and to our doubts. We're frightened by changes in our lives. Our loved ones die. We divorce. We can't make our mortgage payment. Our children are leaving home, or they're not leaving home. We're frightened by the changes in our state and in our nation. The economy is a mess. We're stunned, at least I am, every time I go to the gas station. It seems that it's like a daily event that some public official has some secret exposed, or is exposing himself, or he's drunk on the sidewalk, or caught in a bald-faced lie. National leaders are constantly breaking our trust. Men and women are dying in wars that seem to have no end.
all of these changes and events in our world and in our lives make us want to have our homes and our churches places of sanctuary, a safe haven where we can come in and lock the doors of reality out, keep reality away. We want to lock the doors and ride out the storm in the security and the peace that we so fondly remember before the world and our lives got so crazy, before our loved ones died, before our kids screwed up, before age and health slowed us down. So where's the good news? Where's the good news today? Where can we find hope in this story of a group of frightened disciples cowering behind locked doors, wishing that it was the way it was before Jesus died? Well, the good news is that Jesus can, and indeed Jesus does, enter through those locked doors of our lives. He comes to us extending his peace, the peace of God, to those who are fearfully locked inside. He comes into the very corners of our fear and our doubts. Jesus' presence today, in the words of Holy Scripture, in the bread and wine of communion, in the waters of baptism, in the power of the Holy Spirit that is promised to us, that was breathed on us, in the words of the prayers and the songs that we sing together, in the words of assurance that we hear together, that we are forgiven, that we are loved. In all of these ways, Jesus is with us. It is because we are loved. We are washed and nourished. Because of that, we are equipped to go out. We are sent forth to follow Jesus' command. As the Father has sent me, I send you. The first words Jesus says after peace. You're sent. You and I, called by our risen Savior to allow the Holy Spirit to break through the locked doors of our fears, to break through all of those thoughts and attitudes that lock us in, that lock others out. All of that is released by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus' simple word to us, peace. I worked with a pastor who had a screensaver that trailed across his computer when it was idle for a moment, and it said, "Jesus is coming soon, and is he mad?" Funny words that I'm sure were in the minds of the disciples, too. Jesus is raised from the dead. Oh, he's going to be mad at me. I left him. I abandoned him. I gave up. I ran away. And yet Jesus' first words are not, "Where'd you guys go?" His first words, peace. Filled with forgiveness. God intervenes in our lives in the very moment when we expect the worst. Jesus comes with that word of peace for us. Words of peace, loving, healing, forgiving, strengthening. All of those times when God has been so clear in your lives, that 21% of our nation that says, "I don't believe that there is a God," or "I don't care." Those stories need to be told to those people. They need to hear our story, see our witness of believing that indeed God does exist. God is alive in our world, in our lives. We are sent to tell that good news to the many who show up on Easter Sunday and then for the rest of the year are absent from community and communion. They need to hear our stories. We don't live behind locked doors. We live in this world, rubbing shoulders with people who need to know that they too are loved and forgiven by our gracious God. We live in a world that is filled with freedoms and peace because we know that we are forgiven. We know that Jesus walks with us through the locked doors of our hearts and minds, through our fears, through our doubts. Granted, we don't get the chance to touch Jesus like Thomas did, or hear his voice ring in our ears, "You are sent." But we can remember our baptism. We can claim the power of the Holy Spirit that is ours. Remember, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. The good news is that we are blessed, not because we have seen Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit we believe. This is what we tell those who remain locked in their fears and doubts. We tell them that even if we can't see Jesus, even if we can't touch Jesus, we can simply believe because we are loved and forgiven. And that's the promise. And we know that God's promises are true. Because Jesus does walk through the locked doors of our hearts, the locked doors of our minds, because Jesus died for us and was raised with peace and forgiveness for every one of us, we do have a reason to rejoice. We rejoice in the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus that is always with us, always calling us beyond our fears and our doubts. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.